Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. My name is Marcus Cole, Director of Soccer Operations and Branding. Now, before we begin today's show, I want to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcasts from. Now, that helps you stay up to date on the latest content from us and also helps get the word out to others and let them know that we're providing valuable information for soccer players, coaches, referees, and parents. On the phone with us today is Erica Suter, Certified Strength and Conditioning Coach, owner of ericasuter.com. And for those of you keeping score at home, Erica is the first repeat guest here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast. Erica, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again. I didn't realize I was the first repeat.
Yes, you are.
I feel honored.
Well, we had a lot of positive response out of the last podcast when we had you on and wanted to bring you back to talk about a certain topic. Here in West Virginia, the West Virginia High School regular season officially ended on Saturday, and we begin playoffs here today and tomorrow kicking off. So by the end of this week, the majority of the teams in West Virginia will be, their season for high school will be officially over. And some of those players will go on immediately and go into their club season as they get ready for some late fall tournaments and events that they're going to be going to. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about overuse injuries. Now, you had a blog post back in early September about that seemed to catch fire on Twitter. Lots of people engaging in that post, talking about it, wanting to know more information about overuse injuries and what we can do to help that along so that we don't have that situation. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So first of all, Erica, why don't you go ahead and just give us a good background of what overuse injuries are.
So the funny thing about overuse injuries is people don't see them coming. So they could be developing over months, if not years, and you're still pain-free, but that doesn't mean you don't have an injury developing. And a lot of overuse injuries are happening because of continuous repetitive movements using the same muscle groups over and over and over again with no time for recovery. And the youth soccer system right now is set up so that kids don't get enough recovery. They're playing the sport year round, especially if they're on a travel team, and they're not even taking off in months like December or January. They're playing futsal or indoor soccer. And then when you get into the summer, they have summer leagues, ODP, camp. So there's no real time for a break. And it really concerns me because this is stuff I see every day, just working in the trenches and training a lot of elementary and middle school and high school athletes. They're getting overuse injuries because they're not taking the time to, one, recover. So I'd recommend at least a month recovery, just not even playing your primary sport and focusing on other hobbies. Or two, they're not making the time to strengthen the quality of their tissues or their muscles. So those are my biggest concerns. And even just beyond overuse injuries like stress fractures and tendonitis, knee pain and just chronic soreness, a lot of players are so fatigued from all of the repetitive movement that they're also blowing out their ACLs. Because the first thing they're going to do when they're fatigued is they're going to resort to faulty movement patterns. And that's just a recipe for other injuries beyond overuse.
It's interesting because, you know, you would think, I mean, I read this in your blog post, and I knew it in my head. I mean, kind of in the back of my head, but it didn't really kind of register until I actually saw it in black and white sitting in front of me on my laptop, is that the body's not symmetrical. And mm-hmm. when, you know, I mean, something's a little bit different here and there. And like you had mentioned, when, you know, you have some sort of weakness here and there, your body compensates for that and could end up, you know, creating even bigger issues.
Yeah, 100%. And that's one of the biggest problems as well, is a lot of these kids they have imbalances. They're growing and maturing kids, and that's the scariest thing. And as far as like the female side, they're about to get their menstrual cycle, which also presents its challenges as far as fatigue and compensation. So what we need to do as coaches and performance coaches is to start to work on these muscle imbalances, because otherwise these players who are playing year-round soccer are consistently overloading these faulty movement patterns. And just to give everyone an example, when I was 13 years old, I played year-round soccer. Okay, so I wasn't educated. My parents weren't educated. We were just doing what everyone else was doing. And I had a stress fracture in my left spine, so the left side of my spine, because I was left-footed. I was using my left side too much. I wasn't taking enough time to strengthen the right side of my body. So my left side was overworked. And this developed over months. Didn't even notice it. I was playing with a fracture in my back. And then there came a point where I was like, okay, this feels like a very sharp pain. What is going on here? And I found out it was a stress fracture, and I had to take 6 months off. And that's just, it's scary, because overuse we don't see. And these injuries can be nagging for months. And as physically and mentally taxing as having a knee surgery or an ACL injury.
Now, like I said, you know, a lot of our high school teams will be done with their high school season by the end of this week. So, and then some of the players are going on to play for their clubs. What advice would you have for them to transition back into their club season? Because, you know, some of the clubs, it picks up really quick, and they've got a couple of events scheduled between now and Christmas. What advice would you give to those players and coaches?
Right. Yeah, I know that there's a lot of tournaments coming up in November and December. So if players do have at least a week where, like, before that all begins, just to take time off from the sport, hang out with friends, do other activities, not just to regroup yourself physically, but also mentally. Because these tournaments coming up in the wintertime are serious for most players, and they want to be seen by colleges. So just really enjoying that time off. But if they're transitioning right back in, again, just continuing to do the little things as far as recovery over and over again, so that you're not totally exhausted physically and mentally, and just to reach out to a strength and conditioning coach in your area who can help you with that transition better and make sure that your muscles are balanced and you don't have any weird movement patterns going on. That also helps. The gym is also a nice escape from sports practices. I know a lot of my athletes look forward to the gym session sometimes more than their practices. So really taking care of your health and optimizing recovery.
I think you bring up a very good point talking about having a strength and conditioning coach. My daughter's had one for about 6 years now, and I'll be honest, I fully credit him for keeping her healthy over those mm-hmm. 6 years. You know, he preaches, you know, range of motion and,
yeah,
you know, and working those muscles. Cause I mean, you know, when you play one sport, like my daughter does, she's played one sport now probably for the last at least 3 years. And, mm-hmm. Because that's what she wanted to do, but he would come in and he would make sure that he got the full range of motion past what, the range of motion would be for a soccer player. So, you know, you're strengthening those muscles in a proper way, and it's balancing things a whole lot more. And, you know, they're just so valuable for those, especially for those players that are interested in going to another level, whether it be playing for a regional team, playing for your Olympic development program, or even if you have an aspiration to go on and play in college. Having a strength and conditioning coach is, I think, extremely important and a necessity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and even just other than performance and injury prevention for soccer, it's just great to have a different voice and a different perspective. I'm sure there's a lot of great club coaches. I'm sure your daughter loves her club coach, but it's always nice to have another trainer and another role model in a different area and to learn some different life lessons or some different things. So that's another piece to it as well.
Any other things that we can give players and parents and coaches advice on to help them prepare better and help those kids that, you know, have those additional aspirations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the strength and conditioning piece is so important to just the longevity of everyone's careers and being resilient or more resilient to overuse and other injuries. But just to really ensure kids are still enjoying soccer, and they're also taking a break from it. It's just, it seems to be such a job nowadays for a lot of these kids, and it's taking the enjoyment out of it. And it at the end of the day, it's just a game, and you want to have fun. So if kids feel they're going too hard or they're doing too much, don't be afraid to take some time off and reflect. I think a lot of kids and parents now especially are so pressured to just do more and do more than the neighbor next to them, and it's just like so competitive. But just remember, this is their journey or your own journey, and to enjoy it.
You know, as you go through and look at everything that you're doing, and the one thing that I always stress to both of my kids is the fact that if you do have the aspiration to go on and play soccer in college, or as my son, he's swimming in college right now, I said, it is a job when you get to that collegiate level. So in making sure that you enjoy the basics of swim and enjoying the basics of soccer, enjoying that, because you know, when you get to that collegiate level, there's, you know, an expectation and dedication that you need to be able to compete, you know, all 4 years while you're in school. And I think, you know, I don't think a lot of kids understand that. And I think a lot of parents don't understand that, you know, not only on, you know, when you get done with an evening practice, then you got to head back to your dorm and you got to study for that test tomorrow. And you got a paper that's due in a couple of days and things along that lines. I mean, you were a collegiate athlete. Share a little bit about that. Just, I mean, how much of a job it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even when I was a kid, I always loved the game. It, like, high school soccer was amazing, and I never saw it as a job, but of course that was 10 years ago. It was a different time growing up in the system. But yeah, I mean, when I got to Johns Hopkins, it was demanding. It was a culture shock, but I had learned in my high school years how to dedicate myself, and a lot of that came from my strength and conditioning coach. Because I had to commit to his program year round for several years. And that was like the start of me learning what it took to play at a high level and the habits I had to practice every day to get better, whether that was seeing my strength coach or working on skills on my own. But it's funny you brought up the college experience, because yesterday I just spent the whole day recruiting at Johns Hopkins. And there were over 80 girls there, and a lot of the girls asked me, how did you balance athletics and academics? And I said to them, I didn't. It was really hard. I wasn't gonna lie to them. I mean, it was really freaking hard. And I told them, I was like, look, I'll be honest with you guys. I cried probably every week because it was stressful, but at the same time, that cost for me of being stressed with like academics and athletics was worth it, because I love my college team. I love playing for that coach. I love the program. I love the school. I still had a blast at the school. So that's another thing. I think people think they're going to go to college and everything's going to be perfect and it's the perfect program and the school's great. It's the perfect size. But no, there's always going to be some costs or some little problems wherever you go, but you just need to figure out which ones are worth it. And which benefits you're willing to fight for.
And I think that comes down to the whole thing of you have to love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you don't have that deep down love for that sport, then, you know, I mean, that's the reason why, you know, NFL players retire or pro athletes retire. They don't love it enough anymore to be able to go through the rigors that they put their bodies through.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a good question for players to ask, like, am I truly passionate about soccer? And if they say no, and I think we've discussed this, but if they say no, that's okay. Like, it's good that you are honest with yourself. And then if you say yes, then you're probably willing to do the extra things to get to the next level. And I think it's absolutely a passion problem.
I agree 100%. Now, one thing too, if somebody is out there and you know, they're new to having a strength and conditioning coach and doing this kind of thing outside of, you know, just having some gym time with their team and that kind of thing, one of the things I think that they probably, and you can elaborate on this a little bit more, is it's not an overnight thing. It takes time. It takes going to that person often and having that program set in place that they put together to really start seeing those results.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing when people are reaching out to a strength coach is to make sure they've been doing this for years. So I'd say definitely interview your strength coach and ask them, what's your experience? What are your certifications? Who do you work with? Because some strength coaches will say they work with kids, but they don't. They only work with adults. So really interviewing them and seeing if they're confident in their answers, and then you would know if they're ready to take care of your kid and to prepare them for long-term physical development. And I want to emphasize the term long term. It definitely does take months, if not years, to develop speed and power and your ability to change direction and to stay conditioned for every minute of the game. It's the same thing as soccer skill acquisition. We didn't learn how to shoot a ball with the best power overnight. It took years, and it took years of developing our skill and our muscles to have a strong shot. So everything else with a strength coach, speed, power, conditioning, it's the same process.
Now, Erica, before we go, you provide a wealth of content on various subjects through your website and through social media. Why don't you go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you and where they can find that content?
Sure. My website is ericasuter.com. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at FitSoccerQueen.
And that's ericasuter.com. Like
yes.
I said, she has a blog on there. And also, Erica offers services where she can work with your child remotely, which is starting to become a lot more popular nowadays.
Yep. Yeah, I do online training for any youth athletes, middle, high school, and college who want to get better and who want to work hard and be in it for the long haul.
Sounds good. Erica, I certainly appreciate you coming on the podcast again and talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. Maybe we'll have a three-peat at some point.
There we go. Thank you for listening to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating. We'll see you next week.